Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you have a Bible that has the words of Jesus in red letters? Yeah, most of us do. A lot of us do. They didn't start becoming red letters until 1901, even though the Bible's been around a lot longer than that. It wasn't until 1901 that they decided that it was a good idea to put the words of Jesus in red letters that helped us to remember who's saying what and when. That's just a bit of trivia, but I found that really interesting that even though it seems like it's been around forever, it really hasn't. I mean, it hasn't been around that long in terms of, the Bible. So, but to know that the words of Jesus are in red, I think are really helpful for us. As we read through, sometimes when they're all the same color, we tend to kind of just read through really quickly. And we don't necessarily always catch who's saying what. So to have the words of Jesus in red letters, I think is really helpful. But it also means that when we see the red letters, we probably ought to pay attention to what's being said. Not that we don't when they're not red, but when they're red, these are the words of Jesus. So we probably ought to listen to them. Here in John 8, there are a lot of red letters, a lot of important things. So the red letters for us today, Jesus says in John 8, 31, no, 51, there you go, there's a smudge. 51, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Those are pretty important words. They are words that stirred up the Jews to whom he was speaking. They were words that made Jesus sound, well, a little like a lunatic. In fact, the Jews said that he was a Samaritan and had a demon, that he was possessed, that he was crazy, that he was off his rocker. Who in the world would say, whoever keeps my word will never see death? And that's, they got excited about that. There are few exceptions throughout Scripture of people who didn't see death. There are only a couple. So for Jesus to come and say that everyone else who has died, and this is how the Jews are understanding it, they didn't keep God's word. So in other words, Moses, Abraham, David, Solomon, none of those, Jesus, none of those kept your word, none of those kept God's word, because they all died. That's where they're coming from with this. They're not understanding what it is that Jesus is saying, obviously. And they're ready to kill him for it. They're ready to ride him out on a rail for these red letter words that he's saying. They don't quite get it. They haven't quite grasped it yet. And if we hear Jesus say that to us today, because these are the red letter words, right? These are the words that Jesus is speaking to us. If you keep his word, you will not see death. Or in Jesus' words, as if he were speaking to us today, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. That's a bold statement. And we've all, in some way or another, have experienced death. From loved ones, to friends, to people that maybe we didn't even know. We know what death is. We've seen it. And yet Jesus is saying, if we keep his word, we will not see death. Those are pretty bold words, and words that certainly don't necessarily make a lot of sense to us on the surface. Not that we would pick up stones to throw at Jesus, but we certainly have some strong emotions when it comes to death. And when Jesus says that the ones who keep his word don't see it, well, that can be pretty hard to hear. But these are red letter words, so we should probably listen to them. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. So where is the word kept? Who keeps the word? The answer for us, as Christians living in this world today, the answer for us is faith. Faith keeps the word. Faith holds on to the promises that Jesus speaks in the red letters. Faith doesn't see the words of Jesus here as an indictment, but words of a promise. That faith that you and I have, that faith that has come as a gift of God to us, clings to those words. Because everything around us says absolutely the opposite. Our faith clings to the red letter words of Jesus, knowing that it's only through faith that we can keep his word. Because if it were left up to me or you and your own abilities to follow that law and that rule to the letter, not a chance. Not a chance. But God gives us that gift of faith that clings to those red letter promises, that holds on to the idea, the fact, the promise of Jesus that says, you won't see death. Now, does that promise mean that we won't ever die? We're all going to get there. But that promise is that's not the end. That's not the final word. Death doesn't have the final word in this. Jesus does. Death's words aren't in red letters. But Jesus' words are. They're in red letters, not because the ink is red, but because it's his blood that is shed for us. It's his blood that holds on to that promise. It's his blood that buys that promise for us and puts it here. Our faith clings to those red letter words of Jesus. We confess in our creed that we believe in the bodily resurrection, in the life everlasting, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We say that. We confess that. Every week, we confess that. Faith clings to that. So every week, we say we believe that. Do you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that red letter promise of Jesus? Is that there in you? Is that something you cling to? I know I do. Every single day, I cling to that promise. Jesus has another promise in red letters. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. They were ready to kill Jesus because now he was saying that he was greater than Abraham. Nobody was greater than Abraham. He was the patriarch of all of Judaism, Christianity. Even Islam claims Abraham. Nobody lays a finger on Abraham. The Pharisees said, you're not even 50 years old yet, and you claim to have seen Abraham? How is that possible? Now you are truly around the bend, as they say. You've lost it. And they pick up stones ready for violence. But Jesus reveals to us two things in that red letter promise. First is he does claim to have known Abraham, and vice versa, that Abraham knew him. He says, Abraham rejoiced to see the day, and he saw it. Second, that Jesus is the great I am. Those words, I am, aren't words that just get thrown around by anybody. The I am was first known in Moses' burning bush. The I am. Jesus is saying, before Abraham was, I am. I am that voice in the burning bush. I am the God that sent you to Egypt. I am the one who is and was and will always be. That's what he's saying in this promise, and it's no wonder that the Pharisees are ready to get him out of here. These are bold claims. Incredible promises. So we had better listen to them. We had better hear them. And I know that with our own understanding, it's like trying to decipher the Trinity. We can't quite do it. So how is it that Jesus, incarnate there in front of the Pharisees, can claim to have been the same I am that was in the burning bush, or even before that? How does that work? We talked in Bible study today in Proverbs about the wisdom of Jesus, the wisdom that Jesus is existing before anything else existed. How does that work? I don't know. I really don't. And some have said, well, when we get to heaven, we can ask. And I figure I probably wouldn't even be able to comprehend it then. It's so far beyond. But I don't necessarily think that Jesus speaks these words so that we can understand them. It's not about learning a lesson here. It's about hearing the promise. It's about hearing the promise from Jesus himself that no matter what may come, no matter what we may face, whether that's war, persecution, famine, whatever those other great disasters are, that he is. He is. That no matter what pain we may experience in our lives, no matter what the test results may say, no matter what the results of the surgery may be, no matter what the MRI shows, Jesus is. That no matter what your checkbook says at the end of the month, or whether that debt is so high you can't see over it, or whether the car is broken down again, he is. That no matter what the family situation may be, no matter what arguments may exist, regrets and burdens and all sorts of things that we carry throughout our entire lives, no matter what that may be, Jesus is. He is there. He is there in the midst. He is there next to. He is there along with. He is there in the doctor's office. He is there in the counselor's office. He is there around the dinner table. He is there. That's what that promise is in those red letters. So we best listen to it. When Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Not I'm gonna be someday. Not I used to be, but not anymore. I am. That's the red letter promise of Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He's not going anywhere. That's the promise. He's not leaving. He's not walking away. He's not abandoning anyone. No matter what the days may look like, he is. He is with you. He is by you. Jesus, are you there in my darkest days? I am. Jesus, are you there in the pain and the distress and the worry and the anxiety? I am, he says. Jesus, are you there in the joys and the celebrations, the new births, the new baptisms, the new family, the new excitement and joy? Yes, yes, I am. Jesus, are you there when my eyes close for the last time? My heart beats, that last beat. I am, he says. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your promises in red. Not just the red letters, but the red of your blood shed on the cross for us. Thank you for your promises of your presence and your eternity and infinity. Our faith clings to the promises you have made. We trust in you, and your word never fails. Through the Holy Spirit and his power, we pray. Amen.